not adjust your sets. This is real. What is happening, people? Yes, it is me, Mike Schiavo. You are not seeing things. I am on this side of the table today because I won the contest. I get control of the Nerd Bad podcast. And sitting across from me.
What episode are we on, Mike?
Oh, this would be the Sweet 16 episode.
That's right.
Sweet 16, baby. Sitting across from me is the incomparable Michael Quinn.
Yes.
I have a question to ask you right off the bat.
Go for it.
How does it feel being on the other side of the table today?
It feels weird, awkward. I don't like it. I want to sneeze.
You want?
I don't know, man. I'm out of my element. This is weird. I'm just looking in the other camera. Now I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself on this side. There are the lovely podcasts on here that that do stuff. Like, I would love to come on, you know, if you're ever watching this, to other people that do podcasts. This feels kind of cool being on the other side. It's like,
it does.
I don't have to come up with the topics. I don't have to sit there and just, like, think of things on the fly. It's pretty nice, you know? So, yeah.
I mean, I've hosted podcasts before, but this is a little more, I don't know, a little, I want to say nerve-wracking, but okay, there's a little more production quality.
Yeah,
so
baby.
So I just got to be like, oh, got to be a little more thinking.
Yep.
But originally, I mean, I had this whole thing. Once I've won the contest, I had the whole thing planned out. I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, what
and then God do? Said,
yeah.
not today, good sir.
Originally, I mean, I had.
We had a full panel.
I had midgets coming in here who was going to do a striptease, and she was going to set nipples on fire, and it would all be great.
It'd be great.
But I was told we couldn't do the nipple thing because of, I don't know.
Fire hazards.
But, you know, it'd be a little
Anti-midget laws.
But you know what? We're here today.
Short people.
Me and Mike. Sorry, Brad.
No, screw you, Brad Williams. Get the shot on me. Screw you, Brad Williams. All right? You beat me for the 24/7 title on Jericho Cruz. You shaved my head, my mustache. All right? Still love you. Shut up.
Yeah, we should see if we can get him on the show and have him rebut.
You know what? That sounds like a great season opener right there. Maybe in January, Brad Williams, Brad if you would Williams. Like to come on. I know you come to New York every so often. You go to comedy clubs, like, you know, all over the place in the city. So maybe we can make it happen. We'll talk.
And we'll talk about it. Yes, we will. Speaking of talking about it.
Speaking of talking to your microphone.
Okay, I can do that too. Speaking of talking about it, let's get some promos out of the way right off the bat. Here we go. For champion live pro wrestling for a cause 2.
Now, also side note, I am not going to be able to be at this show. I was originally on it, and I'm sorry to everyone that was going to come out. I believe in this cause a lot. It's for breast cancer awareness. I'll do the plug for this one. Sorry. It's a great cause at the Elks Lodge. What is it? August. October 18th. Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm not looking at anything.
October
18th. I'm not prepared. October 18th at the Queens Elks Lodge. It's going to be a great show. If you ever lost somebody that you loved or know somebody that lost somebody, please come out. All this is going to be for a great cause. It's in the name. Save the Tatas. It means something to me because I lost my mother to breast cancer and I lost a lot of great friends to breast cancer. So being on the show was an honor, but unfortunately I can't make it because I have a very big wedding that day. A really good friend of ours is getting married. So unfortunately I will not be in attendance at that show.
Like he said,
everything else I'm on, baby.
Everything else is on. October 18th, doors open at 6. The bell is at 7. Tickets are $35 for the first and second rows and $25 for general admission. VIPs are $65, and of course, the card is subject to change.
And please, please, if you can, just swing by. If they have his barcode on there, we're going to put it up here at the bottom. Even if you're just watching this, please just donate something to help a great cause for people who suffer from a horrible disease.
Number 2, Back from the Dead Professional Wrestling, Friday, October 24th, 2025, 435 Brook Avenue, Deer Park, New York. It's a Halloween costume contest. Doors at 6, show is at 7. We have The Ring King Camacho, the champion, versus Dirty Dirk Moore. We got a Halloween costume contest. Wear a costume, get in. We have Rage and Triggs versus am I saying this right? Faiju. And Gagion.
And Gangon.
Gangon, sorry. Appearances by Johnny Malloy, Dennis Johns, State of the Organization, and Christopher Roan versus Alex Vendetta.
It's going to be a great card. I'm going to be on it. The SWA Adrenaline Television Champion putting this belt on the line against all comers, all sizes, all shapes, all wrestlers. You know why? Because Santana Fury, like I said before, buddy, you fell into the trap and you lost. I am the better man of our tag team because I stabbed you in the back. Meh. And I got exactly what I wanted. I built you up. I made you think that you were going to win this whole accolades across SWA. Meanwhile, it was me all along pushing you along from the shadows. And then at the moment I chose, I took it away. And I am celebrating the fruits of my labor now. So watch from the sidelines and cry your little eyes out because I am better than you will ever be. SWA Adrenaline Champion, Steven Person.
In person.
In person. With the mustache on the belt. It's part of the mustache, my personal collection now, by the way.
Mustache Mafia?
Mustache Club. Mafia sounds like too criminal organization. I'm a bad guy, but I still believe in the rule of law.
Okay, that's good.
I'm not trying to go to jail.
Yet. Pro tickling.
Yet.
Pro wrestling tickets for this are $25 each. And here we go. We have Steven Person versus D-Mummy in the Horror Brawl by AWWA Halloween Havoc.
And where is that bad boy going to be performed?
That will be 7001 University Boulevard.
In Alabama.
Alabama. He's going down south Alabama.
Alabama, a place where people have more teeth in about, I would say, actually not more, but in Alabama, you know why it's illegal to do reverse cowgirl in Alabama?
Why?
Because it's illegal to turn your back on family.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going with that one.
Thank you.
It took you
Thank
a minute. You. It took me a minute to figure it out.
Alabama, where there's like about maybe what 35 teeth, and it's going to be at the whole entire building. Alabama, the only place you can go to pick up a cousin and a date at the same time. Ladies and gentlemen, Alabama, I do not respect you. I do not like you. Your state is full of degenerates, inbred monsters, and mutants. Okay. The only way you can get out of a third grade class in Alabama is by burning your damn school down, okay? So, Alabama, I don't like you. I don't like the way you smell. I don't like driving through you. And I'm going to come to your state. I'm going to show you what a champion looks like because I'm going to go down there and I'm going to perform my ass off. I'm going to wrestle and I'm going to show you what a champion looks like. You know why? Because I'm from New York City, a real state, okay? We have running water. We have plumbing. Okay, we don't have sex with family members like you people do, and I find it disgusting. And what's his name again? D-Money. I'm going to hurt you because you represent every single slack-jawed, crunkled face, sunken eyeball having piece of crap in Alabama, and I need to teach you a lesson because if I beat you, I make all of you understand that I am from a better place, and that better place can beat your better people.
General admission tickets are $10. VIP is $20.
Get your VIP tickets. I might like talk to you or something and fix your life.
Doors open at 6:00. Right. And that's the end of the plugs.
Yeah. Because I've never said no to so many times in 1 month to so many shows. There is another show that I'm doing, but I can't say because it's a secret show. So we'll talk about it after it happens. But what's it called? Yeah, I love wrestling, but sometimes like I don't know what it is. As of late, the past like 4 weeks, I have been swamped with places asking me to wrestle. I've been asked to wrestle in Texas, in Ohio again, which I really want to go back to. I love Ohio. Florida, I can't make Florida because everyone's asking me on the 18th. And right. I'm like, what did I do? Like, did you guys all get together and just go, hey, listen, let's get Steven Person down here, but completely on an inconvenient day?
Yeah, that's probably exactly what they did.
Exactly what they did.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
How long have you been wrestling?
I've been wrestling now for 18 years. Later on this month, on the day of the 16th, will be my 19th anniversary of my wrestling career.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, obviously, 18, 19 years,
yep.
You've met people.
Absolutely.
People who've gone on to
Absolutely.
Pros.
Absolutely. People who started before me, people who were in the business way before me. I had the chance to just hang out with people. in their infancy and watch them grow from the sidelines and cheer. There's a lot of people that are, you know, I'm good friends with now. I can still talk to, I can send a text to, which I love, just to see what they're doing. I'll never ask anybody, like, hey, brother, can you get me? I'll never ask that stuff because that's putting someone in an auspicious position. And I feel like if I can't earn it on my own merit, I could ask people for stuff. I could make a phone call. But in real life, that doesn't work out for me. And I don't feel right not earning something.
If one of the, you're doing your work. Okay, you have obviously at least 5 championships right here.
I didn't get an intro, by the way.
I introduced you.
I did get a real one, but all right.
You want to do the tap?
Yeah, exactly.
And here we go, going back in time. Sitting across from me, the man who is unusual to being the guest position, Mr. Michael Quinn.
Well, you gave me that one. I'll talk about Steven Person. I mean, what do I have right here? I mean, come on, man. I don't want to sit there and be like, oh, you know, I got my belts on the table, you know, all 5 of them.
And Michael's alter ego. He's the one who beats people up for a living.
Yes.
In person, we have Steven Person.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. Longtime listener, first time interviewee. I have all my beautiful belts here, in case you can't tell. The SWA, which we already went over before. The SWA Adrenaline Television Championship. The Funhouse Wrestling Cross Continental Championship. The HAWA Multinational Championship, the HAWA Tri-State Champion,
he has so many, he has to look.
Interstate, there we go. I forgot what it was. Interstate Championship.
Well, you have so many.
I know, it's hard to keep track of. The Interstate, I was like, I didn't want to say Intercontinental, because I have to stop myself from Intercontinental every single time I say this title. And then I also have the PAX United States Championship. So, defended that bad boy back during the summer against one max capacity, beat his face in, and I may have cheated, but I won.
hey, it's all legal as long as you don't get caught.
Yep. It's not a crime if you don't get caught, baby.
Exactly. Now, getting back to the question.
Sorry.
19, 20 years, you're doing this. You've met people. You know people.
Yep.
People who are in the industry now.
Yep.
At what point did you say, you know what, I just want to do this as a side hustle instead of going full blast and trying to make it?
Everyone knows, people who do know, I don't like talking about my actual real life position in life. So, I will say this, once I knew that that was in grasp and I literally had a choice between having a tryout at WWE, I was offered it, and taking the opportunity to get into the field that I work in now, I literally had to pick between two of my childhood dreams, and I picked one. Do I think I made the wrong decision? No. I just think I made the more advantageous decision towards my future.
Okay.
And I was like, It did hurt a little bit, because no matter what, I was going to quit something that I knew, like, this was something I wanted to do as a child, like I said before, you know? So when I did this stuff and I had to tell people, sorry, I'm not going down to Florida. And again, I wasn't, you know, oh, we're going to definitely hook you up, you know? But I did have opportunities, multiple opportunities in life where I had to make choices. And unfortunately, I saw myself in a position where if I made that decision, it wouldn't work out for me, because I saw people with more talent than me and better charisma and better mic skills than me, and they were getting absolutely nothing. And I knew that if I chose the path that I'm on now, I would be able to do what I want on weekends that I want. I knew I could sit there and entertain crowds, and not lightning, you know, in a bottle or anything like that, but I do think I put on entertainment for crowds that remember me, and not just me, but there's a connection where I can reach people on an intimate basis rather than be a guy in catering, you know? And that's what it was. It was like, they're not going to put me on television. They're not going to give me a microphone live on Monday night and be like, all right, go out there and cut a promo, because man, that's a bro. I would do things that would be great for business, but man, people would be mad at me, because I mean, I have a background in marketing, I have a background in acting, and I've always been someone that can deliver whatever's needed. But man, I'm telling you, if they man, there'll be so many people going like, he's good, but we got to get this guy. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and that would be me. That would be me. I mean, I was in great physical condition when I was really like going for it. And then things kind of changed in the world, you know? And I mean, I still to this day feel no matter what decision I made, I would have been 100% happy. And right now I am 100% happy with what I do.
If someone come up to you today and say, Mike, we got, you could do a dark match. Try out dark match for either AEW, WWE, Ring of Honor, whatever. Would you take it?
I would. I would just for the experience, because I've had opportunities where I got to work in the side of some big companies, and I did a little thing. I mean, like a rotating door at ROH, a rotating door like super quick, you know, like one night only in House of Glory. I had one little thing in MLW. I was supposed to have something in TNA like many years ago, but not even like getting on the mat or anything like that. I had like a little thing that was happening and I had an opportunity for that, but I couldn't like just make it happen, you know, with time constraints. I was actually out of the country at the time. It's like, hey, hope everyone's going to know the story as soon as I say, oh, pa, you know, they're coming down and they want some people who look like you to come down. I was like, all right, cool, I'll come down. When? It's like, oh, 2 days. And I'm like,
sorry.
I'm literally at a funeral in Germany right now. And my plane is not leaving. Like, I can't even get a flight back. Like, there's no way I'm getting a flight back. And it just wasn't in the cards for me, you know? And that seems to be the thing. Like, I did a thing where I did an Evolve tryout. I locked it in. I did great. There were some people there from television that were like, we like this. We like this a lot. And, I didn't pass on anything. I had an opportunity. Someone said, stand right here for the next 2 hours. And they built the set and I was there. It was the Evolve at January 2020. Pardon me. At La Boom in Queens. And if you watch it, they told me you're going to be security. And I stood there and I did my best work to make it seem like I was security, right? Yeah. They made me stay there the entire show. I stood there like a statue. Not like a statue, but like I did my job, you know? So someone big comes out. I don't want to say names, but someone big comes out. And if you watch it, the whole pay-per-view, which you should order right now, there's somebody comes out and all of a sudden you just see me like start pointing to people going like, and like I'm completely oblivious to like you make it seem like I'm just doing my job as security and people I hear someone laughing in the back and they come up to me like, bro, that thing where he came out and you did that thing like telling people to sit down and everything like that was the most brilliant thing I've ever seen in my life. It was like you got yourself over just by being security. Like it was great. We're all laughing in the back. It was like that was funny because now it looks like this guy's like getting fanfare, like, you know, like, right. Oh my God, people trying to jump the guardrails, you know, like no, don't do that, you know? So it was great. I got to actually wrestle a great gentleman named Action Jackson, who has been all over the place. He is a great guy. He's over in Japan right now or Mexico. He just went to either one. So he's a great guy. Action, I love you for that match, bro. Thank you. There was a lot of other great people that I met there. Vivian Van, Man Bun Jesus. I see him every so often. Great guys, great people, great girls. It was a fun time. What else was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah. So anyway, somebody comes up to me afterwards, this nice guy, Mike. And I met like a lot of people at Evolve that like were so nice to me. They were absolutely genuinely nice. And we're just talking the whole entire show. And then after the show, I kind of realized chaos was happening, right? Mm-hmm. One of the female wrestlers got left behind. She's like, I don't know how to get to the hotel. Oh, no one has a car. Everyone left. And I'm like, I'll drive her. It's no problem. Right, yeah. And they're like, are you the guy who's security? I was like, yeah. And I you know the whole thing. So I tell them like, hey, I do this. And they're like, oh, really? I was like, yeah, listen, I'm a trustworthy guy. I'll make sure nothing happens, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, absolutely. I trust you, man. Don't worry about it. Well, I was like, awesome. So then finally one of the referees, I can't remember his name. I feel like an idiot for forgetting his name. And he goes, hey, this fan made like a little poster of me. I have no way of getting it home because like we're just jam packed in the car and I have no way of taking it. It's like, I was like, hey, listen, if you want, give it to me. I'll mail it to you. Right. And he goes, dude, you don't have, I was like, no. Like, I understand the appreciation of people doing stuff for you, especially like this with like this whole thing. This looks amazing. And this fan made like this nice like, you know, rectangular picture painted and everything. I was like, I will personally make sure this gets to you in one piece, unfolded, uncracked, on anything. He goes, thank you so much. And I sent it to him. And I was like, hey, anytime you're in New York, come hit me up, bro. Like, I'm not trying to look for bookings or anything, but like, you're a cool dude. Yeah. Like, you know, like just dude, we were talking the whole entire time and we had a blast, you know? So then people were like, oh dude, we're going to have you come back. Don't worry about it. We do things down in Florida. I was like, oh yeah. Awesome. Cool. Thanks. And then one of the guys, he also worked with Kaiju Big Battle. So Kaiju Big Battle's like, oh, listen, dude, this guy, Mike, he was like, yo, listen, dude, we're going to make you a costume for Kaiju, bro. Like, we love you, bro. Like, you did so many great things for people today. Like, I was like, oh, thank you so much. It's like, I don't want to be rewarded just for doing nice things for like whatever. Oh, I want to be on my own merit, my matches, my ability in the ring, my ability on the microphone, my ability to entertain. That's what I wanted based off. Like, dude, that's like the perfect answer we were looking for. I was like, I'm not trying to say the right things. I'm just trying to tell you how just I was.
How you are.
How I am generally, because I understand when like, I've had shows where people got me things. I'm like, I can't transport this. I had to give it to a friend. He's like, I understand that process. So it's like, I want to make sure someone gets what they, you know, absolutely are rewarded with. So I want to make sure people get places safely. Right. We're in Laboom in Queens. Like, the area over there is a little sketchy.
Nice place for murdering.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what happened. So, yeah. So then I'm ready to go, blah, blah, blah. They start talking. COVID.
Oh.
Everything's shut down, baby. Everything's ruined, the whole entire thing. And I'm like, oh my God, that's it. I'm done. And that was like the real last time I had an actual opportunity. Mm-hmm. When I did MLW, I went to the arena and I got to hang out there with a Contra unit and those guys and a Mr. Freaking Fatu. Jacob Fatu. Sorry, I'm blanking. So Jacob Fatu was awesome to me. Like, it was so funny. He's like, hey, brother. Hey, Oos, do me a favor, bro. Yo, do you know I can get some tape? I was like, bro, I got tape in my car. And he's like, oh, brother, you work? I was like, yeah, man. It's like, I got you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about me. Blah, 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 blah. So I got him the tape. He was like, brother, you don't include, this is for the feed. I don't know what happened to my thing, man. I lost it. I was like, bro, don't worry about it. I got like three rolls in my car. Don't worry about it. I always carry extra just in case. And then I got to be one of the flag bearers for Contra unit, which was really cool. And I was nervous as hell. This is like the first time I ever did something like on television, you mm-hmm. know? And I got to hang out with a nice gentleman named Sean Donovan, who's known around the area on the independent circuit, one half of Sent to Slaughter, who was super kind to me. And I was probably annoying because I was absolutely like picked out of, like, I was just there to help out with the ring.
Right.
And he go, you. And I'm like, huh? Like, what? You know? And I was asking Sean, I'm like, yo, what do you think they want us to do? Sean was like, nah, man, it's cool, bro. Don't worry about it. They're just going to find something for us to do. And I'm like, I'm totally nervous, dude. Like, I was like, and my other friend, Keanu Vera, he got to play a clown that ran around. He got beat up, you know? So we're all like, oh my God, dude, this is awesome. You know, like, we got picked. And he was another Johnny Rods guy. Keanu Vera, awesome guy. What's it called? So it was just a really fun time, you know? And COVID. I'm like, dude. Like, they were like, oh, next time we come to New York, we're going to go to Queens, bro. They're like, yeah, hit us up. Like, bro, we'll hit you up. Don't worry about it. I was like, all right, cool. COVID. I'm like, oh, come on. So, yeah. So I've had opportunities. I've had things taken away from me. I had things not work out in my favor, but I still have the dream job.
You do. So. And yep. Knowing what you do full time.
Oh my God, it's awesome, dude. I would never change it for anything in the world. And at this point now, I'm older where I know no one's going to want me. AEW.
You never say that.
Yeah, AEW. I'm entertaining, but AEW doesn't want me, dude. I know people. I was like, I don't want to waste anybody's time. I feel like I'm going to take a spot from somebody who's out there. I was grinding for a while, like about like 10 years ago, like out of 19. Mm-hmm. Like 10 years ago, I was. Dude, I'll sleep in my car like every weekend.
Right.
Like I was going out to shows and like I called it the manifest destiny. Like I would go to a show, like this is how it worked. Let me sure I get this on tape. So the manifest destiny was like, I would go do a show in like Jersey and they're like, hey, we're doing a show over in Eastern PA. I was like, okay, cool. Hey, we're doing a show over here in another part of Pennsylvania. Okay, cool. Hey, we're going to Pittsburgh next week, bro. You want to come? Okay. Handshake. Like, and then it moved all the way. I got all the way out to like Ohio and like Montana.
Wow.
Like, bro, I mean, like I was just moving city to city to city and I was going all over the place. It was awesome. So, yeah. Yeah.
COVID.
No, it wasn't COVID.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't COVID. It was, Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, because I lost all my gear, my house, my car, everything. I had nothing. I only had clothes, like that were
on your back.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So I had to like rebuild from nothing, and I rebuilt. I took like about 6 months off, and I grinded at work. I at the time I was a supervisor for not supervisor, but I was a security guard at Peninsula Hospital before I got promoted to supervisor, and then. Yeah, and then I got everything back. I was like, all right, new boots, new gear, new everything. And I'm like, I'm ready to go. And then I killed it. And then, like, I was killing it. And then I really got big over in here in New York. I was wrestling a lot in Long Island, in SWA, which I love to death. Right here, baby. Right here, baby. And, yeah, so I was able to rebuild from that. A lot of places closed down. A lot of places opened back up. And some, a lot of places, should I say, opened for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a vacuum in pro wrestling, and I was able to assert myself in places where I was appreciated.
Very cool. And that is the background story of Munster Steven Person. Keep on the wrestling for a little bit. Yes, yeah. One more topic.
Cool.
This past...
All your show, baby.
This past Wednesday on Dynamite, yep. AEW.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm watching it, and it was Kenny Omega, and I'm blanking on who he tagged with, but
Orange Cassidy.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No. It was a singles match.
It was a singles match.
Yeah. I can't remember. I watched only a little bit because it was my anniversary. So.
Yeah.
I love you, baby. My ride or die. Where is she at? Where was the camera shot? My ride or die wife. Happy anniversary yesterday. 8 beautiful years together. 4 years married. I love you to death. She's usually on the show with me today, but just like our other two guests, she's sick right now. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad. Like normally, like Mike knows, like we've had this video packed house, but like, yeah, I know it sucks.
I digress.
So
anyway, we had a wrestler reappear.
Yep.
Come back.
Yep.
Lights go out. And you know, the match ended, not too much fanfare. You know, Kenny went over. Great. Fine. All of a sudden the lights go out and everybody's kind of like, what's
going on?
Even the commentator, even like Taz and everybody, like, we're having a problem with the lights.
Yeah.
And it looked legit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, lights come back up. There's a figure standing in the ring, has the mask on, but he also had the hair over his face.
Yeah.
So you couldn't exactly see the mask.
Because this person usually wears his hair up in a bun.
Right.
So everyone's like, who's this? Yeah,
exactly. And you just see people staring at it, and even Kenny's like, what? Rips off the mask. It's Andrade.
Andrade.
He's back in AEW.
Yeah. Like, instantly, by the way.
So much for the no-compete clause.
Yeah.
You know, and he automatically sets up a feud with Kenny, Omega.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
I think it's great. I mean, Andrade is a really great wrestler. He's one of those guys that you can put him in the ring with anybody on any level, the mid-card, undercard, top card. And he's just, I mean, dude, he's going to tear it up with anybody. Mm-hmm. I like the thing that he did with, who is he teaming with in WWE? He was teaming with Penta.
Yes,
there you go. Penta. He was teaming with Penta. And I was like, I think that's a great team.
It is.
I think it's a great team. Awesome.
You have your high flyer.
Exactly.
And you have your ground and pounder.
Exactly. And Andrade could fly too. He could do some nice, he could do some, a lot of great stuff. Mm-hmm. And I figured like, okay, we're doing like, you know, he can go to, what's it called, AAA and all that other stuff. And I think that was the idea. But I mean, I feel bad, but like, dude. Like Dragon Lee, bro. I'm sorry, dude. What's going on? Like, you're every week they say he's the next big luchador. Pinned. I'm like, bro. If you're gonna say he's in Rey Mysterio tapped him to be the next big guy, you got to put him some.
You got to give him some wins.
Not some wins. You got to put him in some situations. Yeah. And this is what I hate about WWE. It's like, sorry, you're never gonna hire me. I'm not gonna sit there and sugarcoat it. You guys are not building rivalries, and that's the thing that built wrestlers. Wrestlers are built by rivalries.
Yep.
Stone Cold had Bret. Rock had Shamrock, and I'm talking about like in their infancy of their career, not the career, but like their mega stardom, if you will, you know, like Sean had Marty, you know, mm-hmm. you had those moments. Sean had Diesel. Sean had so many different people, even Rick the Martel Martel in freaking 92 SummerSlam, you know, like there were moments where like these guys would like, you know, you saw the fight, you know, mm-hmm. you saw the character. And in WWE, and another we'll get to this after this, but like there's no feud out there that's natural. You know, there's no guys like, yo, I'm going to kick your face in, blah, 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 blah. Beat him up the next day on Raw. You know, like, what's going to happen between these guys next, you know? But
that's what not to harp on it, but that's what I like about AEW. You have the long-term storytelling. Decent term.
There are people out there that do get kind of like, hey, this week I'm going to feud with this guy. Yeah. Then next week I'm going to feud with this guy.
But I mean, on the whole, they do more of a long-term storytelling.
Exactly. Yeah, there is.
Which is
on the stories that matter and on the stuff that you're trying to get people, the marquee matches where people are trying to come in and watch, I 100% agree, where people are going to sit there and go, hey, listen, let's have these two, like Hangman and freaking Swerve.
Right. Bro, I can, that was all day long.
All day long. Like, they, you could tell there's something there. You put them in a match together, it's going to pick right up from where they left off. But other people, it's like, oh, this week, this guy did me wrong. But now this week, I'm going to be I'm gonna be a bad guy.
I'm going to do him wrong.
I'm like, what's going on here? I like the Samoa Joe, Adam Page thing. Yes, that was cool. Like, yo, bro, you dropped my belt. That's perfect. That's like, yo, bro, you just disrespected me. Right. Like, and that's where it's like, it comes down to it. But I, between two baby faces, I'm like, all right, that's cool. I like it, you know, but like, it should be a heel doing that. Like, that's it.
So that's the good thing about Joe. He can flip flop at the drop of a hat.
But now, like, you have him going against the Death Riders and everything, and there are still kind of like a thing with the Death Riders. It's like, Joe got pissed off about a belt. It's like, why aren't you getting so pissed about that, about Jon Moxley?
Right.
Bro, he took out two of your guys. He took out friggin' Shibata, and he took out friggin'
Claudio.
And Claudio. No, not Claudio. Who did Hobbs replace?
Oh, wait.
Orange.
Yes.
Yeah, he took out Orange. So it's like, bro, you're getting mad more about a belt than this. I, you could turn it around and be like, oh, yeah, listen, you know, let's revisit this and make it seem like Joe's actually pissed off because he's being disrespected by everybody now. Now it's coming from Hangman. Like, yo, bro, Moxley's over here.
It's like my title doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. My title doesn't mean anything, bro. Freaking Moxley was over here beating up my friends, and this is my last straw. Mick Foley's bag of chips, you know? So, yeah. If people don't realize that, let me go back. In ECW, Cactus Jack had a very big heel turn because someone took his bag of chips and it absolutely made him snap. And that's what happens in the real world. Like, that's what I love about, like, back then. It was like you had like Sandman and freaking Raven. You had Tommy Dreamer and Raven.
Everybody in Raven
because Raven was just a guy that was like created. Also, but we're gonna go back to what I was saying before. I don't care who you are, you cannot tell me that all this new music coming out in WWE is good. I don't care. Bro, it is, to me, I always think, and I'll say this again, I said this on an episode earlier before, what's it called? Triple H does not like being outshined, even though he's behind the camera. That's why he made the Unreal stuff. The Unreal stuff is 100% Hunter going, hey, listen, I'm not in front of the camera, so I'll bring the camera back here. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Also, on top of that, he hates when people sit there and get over the size of the business. He thinks, oh, these people are going to leave and blah, 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 blah. No, because they're becoming stars, and you're not doing that anymore. You're creating this just generic, okay, this guy's famous because we say he's famous. The fans are just like, okay, whatever. You have Logan Paul. Logan Paul's a star before he came into WWE, and you're not even treating him like a star. So it's like, that's what Vince did back in the day. Like, oh, you came from a different place. Very rare that Vince was like,
you're going to get buried.
Yeah, you're going to get buried. Yeah. Look at Vader. Vader was like the perfect example of it. And Vader could have been like a $1 billion thing. Mm-hmm. But no, what do? He's losing to Kane and losing like horribly to people. It's not even like he's fighting guy. There are people that he's building up because it's like, oh, this is my guy, so I'm going to build him up.
Right.
But what happens when he gets so big? What happens? Get their knees cut from underneath them. Rhea Ripley, I love her because she's actually like, you put her on camera, fans go nuts, you know? Roman Reigns, you put on camera, fans go nuts, you know? Seth, you put on camera, fans go nuts. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, they could be such bigger stars if they did it better. Right. You know, like, and I'm not saying like I know how to do this stuff, but I do have
a background. You have experience.
I have experience in marketing, and if you want to make a product look good, you put everything into it. That's why UFC is kind of in the toilet right now, because all these guys, they're just like, all right, this guy's going to fight this guy.
And who is he?
Who is he?
You know, no
you're not even giving them, like, you're not putting them on TV shows. You're not putting them on freaking talk shows. You're not doing all this.
No buildup.
There's no, not even buildup. There's no creation.
No background.
There's no creation. Like, it's, you got to have these people be presented as stars. Stone Cold's music, whoosh, dun-dun, right off the bat, The Rock. You smell what the, you know, Ken Shamrock's, don't, you know, like, I can go back and name people.
Catchy.
Even like, what's it called? Alex Riley, say it to my face. You know,
I used
like,
to go nuts when
bro, he, like he, Alex Riley had better music than most of the stars do today.
I went nuts when I was little, and you heard the Ultimate Warrior. I wanted to run around.
Oh my god! You know, like
I wanted to go run around
right into the veins, brother. That's what it was, dude. Like, and now, like, you have. I'm sorry, the Judgment Day. I feel like I'm being so serious. I do not know if their music changes every week, but it sounds like it does.
Probably.
And Finn Balor, how do you screw up Finn Balor's music?
They found a way.
You find a way. Now, if Finn's saying, oh, listen, you know, I don't want to use this music anymore, you know, whatever. Okay, that's fine. But all I'm saying is that that's a bad decision, in my point, because when people want it, people go for the theatrics. You go for the blah, you know, like the entrance is the one thing that, like,
that, when that someone's music,
when someone's music hits, bro, everyone in the arena should know who you are.
Exactly.
And like, there's so many people. I'm just like, wait, who is this now? Mm-hmm. Oh, some generic like mumble rapper,
right?
Street freaking street music. Like
when you hear the guitar chords for Hitman, you knew exactly who's walking down.
Dun 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 dun. Like,
yeah, Hogan, right there, right off the front.
Dun dun dun.
Everybody goes nuts. It.
And it doesn't have to be anything creative, you know, like Tiffy Time. It's that's one catchy that I can get behind, but the music sucks. Yeah. Like, they get the idea. It's like, okay, let's put this, you know, Rhea's music. Rhea's music is actually, you know, like jammable. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like I remember back in the day, what you were able to do with someone's music, you put it on an album and you bought it.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm sorry. Okay. I kind of hijacked everything.
That's cool.
Yep.
All right. Now to the meat and potatoes of today's show. Yes. Since this is the Nerd Badge podcast, we will be talking nerdy today.
I like it.
Okay. And we're taking a trip back in time.
Awesome.
To when cartoons were actually good.
Okay.
Because I watch a lot of cartoons.
Now, tell me, what are we talking? Are we talking like Disney Afternoon, Saturday morning, even the rare Sunday mornings?
The ones that I have on this list mainly came from Saturday morning cartoons.
Okay. I'm down with it.
Mainly Saturday mornings. Now, it's going to be, I give you the rundown. It's either going to be made into a movie.
Okay.
Remade as a cartoon.
Okay.
Or as like a TV show.
Okay.
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 First up is MASC,
ooh,
which is short for Mobile Armored Strike Commandos, spelled with a K.
Spelled with a K.
Ran for 2 seasons on CBS from 85 to 86.
Yep.
The leader of MASC was Matt Tracker. And he led his team against Venom, which is the acronym for Vicious Evil Network of Evil.
Yeah. So the thing about that show was really good was that it was basically, I think it was a copy of G.I. Joe, right? I can't remember.
I don't think it was a copy of G.I. Joe, where it might have been in like the same realm,
yeah,
where like it was all like espionage. But yeah, the cool thing about,
I don't remember which one came out first. I remember the show very much.
I think G.I. Joe came out first.
Yeah.
But what was cool about this was the toys.
Yes.
You had a huge front end of a semi called Rhino.
Yep.
You press, and I had 2 of them. You press a button, the grill comes out of the battering ram. The back opens up, you shot a missile out of
it. Yep.
The back 4 wheels became a little armored strike commando car. You had a Camaro. This is the first time I actually remembered seeing
a Camaro.
Not even seeing a Camaro, but seeing like a car on car.
Oh, yeah, a cartoon, yes.
Seeing a cartoon that actually looked like a real car in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
It had the gold wings came up and it turned into a jet, which was awesome.
That was so cool.
You had
The masks themselves.
The masks themselves. It's allowed the rider to
integrate into the vehicle. I remember the motorcycle.
The motorcycle condo. It turned into a helicopter.
Helicopter, yeah.
And each mask had its own special ability. Like,
and one was like Marines, one was not Marines, but like, you know, like water.
Yeah,
like it was Earth, Fire, Wind, Water, not water, but like it was like, you know, tactical.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. So now, like I said, it ran for 2 seasons.
What would you see it as first? Would you see it as a...
See, with something like this now with the computer graphics that we have, I can see it working as a... like a Netflix show.
I can see that.
I can see live action, not as a movie, but I could see it as like Netflix.
Cliffhangers,
where each episode, you know,
progresses a story.
Progresses into the story.
Yeah.
I could see it happening because, you know, all the vehicles they have. Even if you start off small, you have the Camaro.
Yep.
You have the semi-truck. You have to have the Condor, which is the motorcycle.
Yep.
And then throw one in and you have a pickup truck. Okay. And pick up, you know, pop the whole front end pops open and... It turns into a jet ski.
Yep.
And then on the other side, you have
Venom.
Venom, Miles Mayhem. He had awesome.
They were like cyborgs or something too, right?
That was.
Was that one of them?
No, that was Centurions.
No. Wasn't one of them like had robot parts or something like that?
Not Centurions. No, that was Centurions.
No. I know the Centurions. I remember that. But like, weren't there some of them that had like robot parts or something like that that integrated?
I can't remember. I just remember everybody had the mask.
Yeah. I remember the mask. It was such a long time ago. Yeah. I was literally watching it when I was like 6 or 7.
Yes, that was great.
Yeah.
The best part about the Venom was the helicopter Switchback.
Oh.
It was either Switchback or Switchblade.
Switchblade, I think Switchblade. It was. Yeah.
It started off, it looked like a modern day stealth helicopter.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, you fly around as a helicopter. Then all of a sudden you press a button. the propellers stop. It goes back into the back of the helicopter. The landing skids become wings, and it turns into a jet.
Yeah.
I wanted this thing so bad.
Now, it was very colorful, too, back in the day. So
bright reds, dark blues,
oranges, greens,
purples.
Yeah. There was nothing really, like, matted, I think, right?
No, nothing. What got me was all the cars, when they're normal, they look like normal everyday cars.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you press a button and it flips over.
Yeah.
You know, you have, I remember Piranha, which was the bad guy motorcycle.
Yeah.
With the motorcycle on one side with a sidecar on the other.
Yeah.
And then the sidecar became a submarine.
Yeah.
It detached and became, I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah. There's so many possibilities with that show.
I definitely think it could be remade.
Now, what would you say, would it be on Netflix? Like, would it be like an hour-long episode, half an hour episode?
I think for something like this, it would be an hour-long episode only because you would have too much.
Yeah.
You can't squeeze it all into a half hour.
Yeah.
Then you definitely lose production quality. Yeah. You lose storytelling quality.
I forget the characters, but I know, like, it was basically like almost like G.I. Joe.
It was almost like, it was in the same realm. I would say this would be more like espionage than regular, you know, just go out, shoot them up, good guys, bad guys.
Yeah.
You know?
What's next?
Okay, next up, Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, that show is awesome. So
now, I want to...
Go ahead.
There have been two movies,
yes.
Dungeons & Dragons, that had absolutely nothing to do with the cartoon, which I am upset about. Not. Okay, in the last one, you did see... The original ones had a cameo, but that was it.
Yeah, and it was I liked the cameo. I loved it.
I marked out over it.
I was like, yes!
Yes.
Because they were in the battle arena.
No, they were in a maze.
Maze. Yeah, yes. They were in a maze, and what's it called? You see them running around with all the colors. I was like, that was awesome.
The original series ran from 83 to 85. It had three seasons, 27 episodes.
Ooh.
Now, they had an unaired final episode where the kids actually got home.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I mean, just...
That's cool.
I'm going to give you a list right now. You had Hank. He was the ranger.
Yep.
Had the power bow. You had Eric. He was a cavalier. He was the spoiled rich kid who always ends up getting in trouble. You had Diana, the acrobat. She had the power staff.
Yep.
You had Sheila, the thief, who had the cloak of invisibility. You had our younger brother, Bobby, who was the barbarian.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. We have Hank, Eric, Diana, Sheila, Bobby.
Yep.
Do you remember the magician's name?
It wasn't Merlin, was it?
No. It was Presto. Now,
That was the nerdy kid with the glasses,
the nerdy
right?
Kid, the glasses, and all the spells go wrong. Now, I'm wondering.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he thought he would try and like do something, and it'd be like,
and always blah, 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 blah. Pull stuff out of his hat.
The hat. I was like, I thought it was a satchel.
But here's the thing: everybody else had regular names. Presto, is that his name in the Dungeons and Dragons realm, or is that his real name? You never know.
I remember somebody telling me, like, was Presto actually made up?
It could be.
Was like he was like the friend that couldn't show up or something like that, so they just made him Presto. Be. Like, oh, he's not there.
But here's the thing. In the unaired final episode, they actually did a reading of the final script.
Okay.
It turns out the main villain, Venger.
Yeah.
He turns out to be Dungeon Master's son.
Oh.
He has a redeeming arc in the last episode. He becomes good. So he drops the horn, he drops the white face paint, he becomes normal again. Everybody but Presto goes home. They find his way home. Presto decides to stay because he will be trained to become the new Dungeon Master.
Okay.
So he ends up staying, and he stays with Unicorn Uni.
Yeah.
And he stays, and everybody else goes home.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Now, with this, I could see it being redone as a cartoon.
I could see it being redone as a cartoon. Now, cartoon show, like Netflix, or cartoon like on like... almost like how they used to do, like, you know, seasons.
Seasons.
Okay.
Because again, you follow the same format.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you go on the Dungeons and Dragons variety.
Like sucked. Weekly, right? I meant to say, weekly. I'm sorry. Like, it's not gonna be like a release drop like 10 episodes at once.
Well, I would like to have it do it weekly, only because
it tells a better story.
It tells a better story, and you have more anticipation. Like you want to say, oh, what's next? What's next? You know, it gives you time as a viewer. This is what I like. It gives you time to wonder what happens next. You come up with your own ideas and you watch the show. Was I right? Oh, shit. I didn't see this coming.
You could foreshadow. You could sit there, hide stuff right in plain sight.
Exactly.
And like Presto becomes like the Dungeon Master the whole entire time.
You never saw that coming.
Yeah. I knew there was something up with him. I was like, I felt like he was like always like a special character, you know? Like, because just him just doing, I felt like he was going to have that redemption where he pulls like a, Didn't one episode, like, he actually pulled out, like, a very powerful weapon or something?
Yeah, I mean, every now and then he actually does something right. Something
cool, yeah.
And it catches everybody by surprise, him. He's like, wow, I did it right.
Yeah.
Here's a little tidbit for you. Eric the Cavalier. Do you remember who did his voice?
No, I have no clue who did any of the voices.
Do you remember Happy Days?
No way. Don't tell me Ron Howard.
No, not Ron Howard.
Richard Cunningham?
Nope, it was Ralph Malph.
Really?
Ralph Malph,
Donnie Mose.
Mose.
Yeah.
He did the voice of Eric the Cavalier.
Oh, man.
Which I thought was really cool.
That's funny.
Like, he always sounded familiar to me when I was watching it. I'm like, this guy sounds familiar. Even when I was watching it as a kid, I'm like, he sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure it out.
That's awesome.
Another reason why I think this will work better as a cartoon, again,
it's Dungeons & Dragons. You know,
it's Dungeons & Dragons.
Special effects are cool, but
this would be better. But it has to be the hand-drawn one.
Yeah.
Plus, you have the main villain, Venger.
Yeah. Venger looks cool. Yeah.
It's my background right now. You know, he had the one horn.
Yeah.
The black. The horse.
Do
you remember the one creature that he was scared of?
It was something. Wasn't it like the baby dragon or something?
It wasn't a baby dragon. It was Tiamat, the five-headed dragon.
There you go.
And that literally scared the crap out of him.
And it was always like in the background. Not in the background, but like it was like, he may come.
He may come. You know, you hear the footsteps. You never know where it was showing up.
I knew it was something with a dragon. I couldn't remember if it was like a baby dragon.
Well,
like,
they have dragon all over the place, but Tiamat was the big.
Yeah, Tiamat.
You had one that shot five heads. One was fire. One was ice.
One was water.
One was water, one was poison gas.
Poison gas, there you go. I always forget that one because it was all the elements and then one crazy thing. Yeah.
Right.
Damn, that show was awesome. I just want to rewatch that.
It was so good. Shifting gears now.
Give me another one.
Let's go to the extreme Ghostbusters.
Oh, my God. Is that the one with the gorillas, right?
No, that was actually.
Oh, you're talking about the one, the 2000 ones with the emo girl.
Yeah, it was from 91. It was from September 1st, 97.
Yes,
to December 8th, 97. Only ran for one season.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much a direct sequel to The Real Ghostbusters, which ran from 86 to 91.
Yeah. And that was a good show.
It was.
Like they had the one kid who could talk to ghosts or something like that.
That was like the goth chick.
Yeah.
Kelly Griffin.
Yes.
She was the only one who had paranormal experience.
And all the other kids were just like friends or something like that.
I watched the first episode where Egon is the only one left in the firehouse. Mm-hmm. He takes care of Slimer, takes care of the firehouse. Mm-hmm. He's continuing his studies and he's maintaining the containment unit.
Yep.
And you know, during one of his classes, you have Eduardo Rivera.
Yes.
He's kind of like the Peter version. He's
yeah.
kind of lazy, sarcastic, apparently clueless.
Yeah.
But he's faithful and he will help everybody out.
Was it one of them like her boyfriend or something?
I think later on down the line, the two of them hook up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was always implied, never shown. You had Roland Jackson, who was...
Was he a jock?
He's not a jock. He was a level-headed one. He was kind of like the Ray of the group where he helped Egon... retrofit Ecto-1 and upgrade the backpacks. And he also was the voice. What's his name? I'm seeing his face. I'm blanking out of his name. He was the brother on Fresh Prince.
Carlton?
Yes. Carlton did his voice.
Oh, wow. Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yes.
Thank you. There you go.
He did the voice of Roland Jackson.
Okay.
We have Garrett Miller. He was the jock.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he was born a paraplegic.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was stuck in the wheelchair.
Definitely early 2000s, late 90s. Everyone in a wheelchair is still able to do stuff.
But they gave him the upper body.
Yeah, I remember one of them being a jock. And I think he got hurt playing football or something?
Well, according
to... Or a car accident?
According to Wikipedia, he was born that way.
Somebody got hurt. Oh, I'm thinking it did something else. I'm sorry, don't mind me. Yeah.
But
that show, man, I completely forgot about that kid.
It was so good. I mean, and you know, they were like, what happened to, like, the original Ghostbusters? Yep. Like, what happened to the original Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we just kind of, like, you know, paranormal activity went down.
Yeah.
Everybody just kind of went their own way.
Yeah.
And then it started to pick back up, and Egon brought in these guys.
Yeah.
And he was like, look, let's go. And they have new traps, new proton packs, everything else. Somebody actually made a fan poster for this that was supposed to come out in, you know, like, teasing at Extreme Ghostbusters 2016. Yeah. And it had Johnny Boyega, Felicity Jones, Adam Driver, and you had...
Adam Driver and Boyega would be funny to see together.
And you have Chris Pratt as Garrett, the guy in the wheelchair.
Chris Pratt.
And I'm like, Yes, this needs to be made.
That needs to be made.
Do it.
You know what I see is, as the Spanish kid, the kid from he played Blue Beetle.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can't even.
I forget his name.
It's like X O L. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Sorry, we're not gonna butcher it.
I'm not gonna butcher it.
I think he would be a good version of that.
But looking at like those characters, you had to say, okay, well, Johnny Boyega, obviously the black guy. Yeah. Felicity Jones, obviously the chick. Chris Pratt was in the wheelchair. I'm like, Adam Driver as the Spanish guy. I was like,
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that because I feel like not because you need the inclusion of the Spanish guy, but I feel like that whole dynamic of culture would be great.
It would be awesome.
Because I felt like they all came from like different cultures. I remember watching the show, like they all came from like different cultures and stuff like that. So
I remember in like the first episode, you see Egon giving a lecture.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty much like, you know, they had the Eduardo character, like, I'm just here to get my credits.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, the only one who was really paying attention was, I think, Roland.
Okay, yeah.
The one who's really paying attention. And then something happened, and then he ended up going to the firehouse. And that's how they kind of got, like, inducted into the whole Ghostbusting world.
Right. What's that? What would you see that as?
I would see that as a live action.
Okay.
I would see live action.
Movie or, like, Hulu movie?
Hulu movie.
I can see that.
I can see a live action Hulu movie that could, if it gets good traction, could be...
Yeah.
A TV show.
Exactly. Then carried on to it, what's called, something like that.
Yeah. Started off as a movie. If it's good, you go on.
Yeah.
Okay. Now to spin the wheels, we're going to Pole Position. Do you remember that show?
I do not remember that show at all. Pole Position.
It ran for one episode. And I'm sorry, not one episode, I'm sorry.
One season. I was going to say, okay, I was like, I don't remember this.
No, it ran for one season based on the...
One episode, bro. That's it. You're done.
One season based on the video game Pole Position.
Sounds like a stripper show.
It does. But we're not talking about the
Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, right? When she won't make
it. Yasmin Bleeth.
Basically, the entire female cast of Baywatch.
Yes, that would be great. In slow motion.
In this show, it's cars that have AI in it. It's a little bit of Knight Rider in it.
Okay.
You had two cars. The first car was a black and red 65 Ford Mustang.
Okay.
With the name of Wheels.
That's inventive.
Because it's the 80s. You do it.
Were they going to name the plane with the freaking, well, if there's a plane in it, like
not,
Wings?
No, there's no plane. But the other car is a futuristic.
Also starring the speedboat known as Rudder.
Motorboat. The other car in it is a futuristic looking car. It was a light blue coupe, and his name was Rhodey.
Rhodey.
So we had Rhodey and Wheels.
Oh my God. What's the next one? Freaking Steery Wheelie?
No, those are the only two. Those are the only two cars that were in it.
Okay,
but like you could take out like the AI and put it like in different places.
Okay,
so
I can see why this man only one episode, season.
So the whole thing was, it was
sounds like it should need to be one episode.
Yeah, it was the Pole Position stunt show where the main character of Tess Darrett and Dan Darrett, they're kind of like undercover. They work for the government.
Okay.
And they have, like, these AI cars, and the cars can do, you know, they have, like, a water ski mode where, like, the wheels come up and jet skis come out. And, you know, they do, like, turbo boost, and they can fly, and, you know, no really huge transformations, but they can do enough stuff to make the show interesting.
Okay.
And, you know, the show featured the Derrick's family stunt car driving, fighting crime. Why? Because it was the 80s.
Of course.
And that's what you do.
Family's always going to get together. Like, hey, Dad, what are you doing tonight? Let's take down the mafia.
Take down the mafia. That woman over there, she's part of the PTA. We don't like her.
Exactly.
She's down. So,
but yet, we have to get ready for our science project. Exactly. However, we're going to make this happen.
Uh-huh. I have to get an A in this test. But,
oh, no. They're attacking the Statue of Liberty. What do? Family together. Get Wheelie and Rhodey and all of our other crappy cars.
Yep. It's goofy enough to keep people's interest. I would say redo it as a cartoon.
Yeah.
Just so people know, okay, this is goofy.
Yeah.
It's goofy. It's entertaining. I'd say redo it as a cartoon.
I would say do it live action and make it seem like they're actually, it's so crazy. Like they would sit there and remember the Brady movie?
Yes.
Brady Bunch movie?
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
So
like
you want to go real camp.
They're like, we got to sit there and figure this out, family. And everyone's like, what the hell's wrong with these people? Yes. Like, why is the kid rolling around in the bushes like with a freaking thing and talking to his car? And like the people think they're all crazy or whatever. It's like, no, they're just all on meds. They're off their meds. They're sorry. Meds. Yeah.
Side note on the Brady Bunch movie. Who's the youngest brother? Bobby?
Bobby, yeah. You Greg know, is the oldest.
Bobby is the youngest. Do you know who the actor who played Bobby in the movies, what he went on to do?
No.
How familiar are you with, I think it's FBI International and Chicago PD?
No. The kid, the no, wait. The one who dates, what's it called? Chicago PD, the one who dates the female who becomes a detective?
Yep.
No!
Jesse Lee Seffler, I believe his name.
Oh, my God.
He ended up dating Sophia Bush in the show, and then he went on to date the other blonde chick.
Oh, my God.
It's the same guy.
And he's like the faux hawk.
Yep.
That's Bobby Brady?
That's Bobby Brady.
Wow.
In PD, he hyphenates as Jesse Lee Seffler. But in the Brady Bunch, it was just Jesse Seffler.
I didn't even recognize him.
I did. I looked at him. I'm like, that guy looks familiar. And I looked it up. I was like, oh, crap.
Oh, my God. Yep. I love when you get, like, hit with moments like that. But like, hey, do you know this person? Like, I tell people all the time. It's like the girl who played in The Ring. You know what else she did?
What?
The voice of Lilo from Lilo and Stitch.
Really?
Yes.
Did not know that.
Exactly. I had that feeling. I love that feeling. People don't know that. It's really kind of cool, you know, secret little trivia.
And not really trivia. This is just like the thoughts that we have in our head that kept us at really good schools growing up.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God. And like, imagine like the little girl from Lilo and Stitch, you know, like.
All right.
What else we got?
Number 5.
All right.
Ready for this one. This ran from 84 to 85.
Oh God, another seasoner.
Another seasoner. Actually, it might have been 2. Kid Video.
I don't even know that.
This blended live action with cartoons.
Okay.
Where it was a band and they go to rehearsal studio and the main villain, Master Blaster. Okay. Keep in mind, this was the 80s.
And this is why we got one season.
Yes. Master Blaster kidnapped them, sucks them into the TV, and they bring them to the dimension called the Flip Side. Where Master Blaster, who's made out to be this really fat record executive,
okay,
wants to take all of their musical abilities and give them to his band, the Copycats.
Oh my God, this is Gem. This is exactly
this is kind of like Gem.
This is Gem. Before Gem. Gem and Holograms.
Yes, only the
Misfits.
The Misfits. The Copycats were real cats, and it was.
Oh my God.
Cool Kitty.
Yeah, you lost me, and now you have me. You got cats. Meow.
The Copycats were Cool Kitty, Fat Cat.
Oh my God.
She-Lion. And
I'm so happy that got canceled. It's not part of my childhood.
I liked it.
I got to watch it now.
This was the Kid Video band.
Okay.
The band was called Kid Video. You had Kid Video. He was the lead guitarist and the singer. You had Carla, who was the drummer. Ash, who was the keyboardist, because every band needs a clumsy keyboardist. Exactly. Again, it was the 80s, so it was better than a guitar.
Yeah, I know.
You had Wiz, who was the nerdy drummer.
Oh, my God.
Everyone, and then
that's a bash on drummers. Yeah. No one ever likes a drummer.
And then you had Glitter, who was the fairy who befriended the Kid Video band.
So you got cats. You got a guy kidnapping kids.
Yes.
You got a keyboard. You got a fairy for some reason. Like, this is why Coke should not be introduced in the world of entertainment. Just take it out, bro.
It might actually make things better.
And then, like, a fairy comes out of nowhere, man. Yeah, bro, it's going to be great. Yes. Like, bro, oh, my God.
And then we'll sell it to kids.
No, the kids will love it, man. We'll have cereal. And, like, it has a little sugar on it, man. Yeah, we got it. Print it.
I would say this would be one. I mean, I brought it up only because I was looking.
This would be for kids. This has to be a cartoon.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a cartoon, just to round it out, because it's something that I remembered. And I didn't want to go to, like, you know, like Spider-Man, because that's been done to death. Transformers has been done.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe has been done. I wanted to do things a little more obscure. And we got a minute and a half left. Do you remember StarCom?
Is that the one out in space? Is that the one, not with the Cowboys? That was
Silverhawks.
Yes. No, yes. I know. I know this. I'm seeing it in my head, but these all 80s cartoons, these like early 80s cartoons.
This was mid 80s.
Yeah. Like
85, 86.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so these, I was about 5 or 4 years old. And I just remember them like they're a fever dream, you know, like did I fall into a batch of cocaine when I was a small child and remember this stuff? Sort of, kind of. I just remember the outfits and everything. I'm like,
It was cool about StarCom because, you know, StarCom was like the good guys. And I forgot, I think Triforce was the name of the bad guy.
Yeah.
The action figures were only about that big.
Yes.
And they had magnets on their feet.
Yes, and you could put them in like all over the stages or something like that. I remember that.
The vehicles that they came in, they had little magnetic pads and you could stick them all over the place. My mother used to find them all over the kitchen.
Yeah.
All over the
Stuck to each other. Stuck to the fridge.
This would be good as, I think, StarCom as a whole, because the weapons were, the vehicles were cool. It was like Top Gun in space.
Yes, yes.
I think that would work as
I think it was a playoff for Star Wars.
It might have been.
I think it was a playoff for Star Wars, very lightly.
Very light, loose connection to Star Wars. Yeah. I think this would work as a live-action show.
I could see that. I think anything in space you could do in a studio somewhere and just put it together and everything, I think that works.
Yes. So I would go that as a live-action show. Maybe do, instead of doing, like you said before, have the movie and then do like the TV shows.
Yeah.
I would do, start it off as a limited, you know, five episodes.
Yeah.
And then do your a finale movie. As yes, like a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That would work.
So you want to, I as you were saying this, like I thought of a couple things that'd be really great.
Okay.
I'm going to take a couple things and flip them around. Ready? Mm-hmm. Power Rangers.
Okay.
Anime.
Okay. See that happening.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Not X-Men, but like, what was the show? I think G.I. Joe deserves its own television show.
Yes.
I think...
would you go cartoon or live action?
I would go live action because now you could kind of control the narrative. I would not do any flashbacks. I would not. I would just do the story progressively. Mm-hmm. We're telling a story. Everyone knows these characters. If you don't, then you could sit there and just be like, they kind of not tell it, but like they have like a little moment where they talk shit.
Right.
You know, not going back in time, going like, when I was a small child, my parent never hugged me, and then I was a ninja afterward. Like, screw you, bro. I don't need to hear this stuff, you know? What's it called? Another show that I think would be great as something great, I think a Ninja Turtles television show, but live action.
Okay.
And I think you can do some really good stuff there. I think you can bring in, like, you know, Splinter, the Rabbit, and all those other guys.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Now, have you heard, there's a rumor floating around that they're doing another Turtles movie, but they're doing The Last Ronin.
Yes, I heard that's happening, and I really want to see that. If you have any chance to watch The Last Ronin, trust me, I say it, just read the damn comic. And
yeah, it's...
Everyone knows now about it, but if you haven't, I'm not going to spoil it for you. We try and keep it spoiler-free here, but it's an amazing story.
Yes.
And it always kind of like... it, like, the way that it happens, I read the entire thing, and it was gold. Like, it was perfect. Could I see that as a movie? Yes, it needs to be a show where each episode you see something very tragic happen throughout it, and I think that'll be really good.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Dragon Ball Z? Never make it into a live action movie.
Yeah.
Ever again. Don't evolution.
Much,
yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. I think if you did what other shows were really great back then? Not Transformers, obviously not freaking what's it called.
Well, Transformers, this you know, I like to drop the ball. When the Transformers turned into the robots, with the exception of Optimus Prime, you couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah, yeah. Because
you
that was
apart.
And that was the thing, where it was just like they were so metallically bland. And in the show, they were just very simple, to the point.
Mm-hmm.
With the Transformers in the movies, they had all these like... I love the first one. I liked the second one. Everything else afterwards is trash. They ruined Unicron. They brought Unicron back, and then they beat him, and then he just came back for the first time again in the later movies, and it was just, you know, Hollywood. So I do think from a marketing standpoint, they kind of lost their identity.
Yes.
Because now it's like, where are we at this point, you know? Like Optimus Prime and the freaking, what's it called? The woman in space. I forgot what her name was.
Yeah,
like that was just chaos.
I stopped watching after which one had the Dinobots in it.
I like the Maximals.
No,
the Maximals.
No, but I'm talking about the movie.
The
third one,
the last one. It was the last one that came out.
Like he came riding in on Grimlock.
Yeah,
that was. I stopped watching after that one.
No! I'm sorry. That was one prior to that. That was
wasn't the last night.
That was the last night.
Was it last night?
It was the last night where they came riding on Grimlock. I was like, I kind of understand that, but at the same time, the Grimlock and all of them should have had like their own movie. Yes. And like the Maximals, I feel like when Optimus Primal finally says in the movie, what's it called? What they used to call themselves? The Maximals, Maximize.
Yeah.
I lost it. I was like, yeah, if Tebow was here, he would say the same exact thing. Yeah. You know, like, because there was a story behind it. They would sit there, they couldn't stay out of their animal forms. Otherwise, they would die of energy poisoning. So in the whole entire movie, they just didn't announce it. You know, like they were like, oh, we're like, we're just stay as robots, robot animals. Like, why?
Although my favorite Maximal was Rat Trap.
Rat Trap was awesome. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Because he's just
Cheetor, Tarantula.
I just like Rat Trap because he was just like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. I don't give a damn.
I'm going to do what I want.
Yep.
screw you guys.
Exactly. Screw you guys. I'm going to sit there and do whatever. Yeah. I like the dynamic between Tarantula and Cheetor. That was always fun to see. What's it called? Mega Tyrannus or whatever.
No, he was Megatron.
He was Megatron, but like he was a Triceratops Rex.
Yeah, that was the only one that kept the name was Megatron.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really good show. And then there was an episode where they went back in time, and then you saw Optimus. They found the arc, and Optimus Prime is like huge compared to them. I was like, whoa, you know, that was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. So,
all right, I do believe we are out of time.
You're out of time. You're the host.
Out of time. So, Mike, I would like to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to be behind on this side of the desk.
You got
to
do my sign off.
What is a sign off?
I just sit there and just like, I'm happy.
We did it. We did it. Episode. Hello. Let me try this again. Episode 16, the Sweet 16, hosted by me, and I do identify as a problem. Yes. I want you to know that. Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on my own show.
Yes, thank you. I'm proud to have him on his own show. Check out those wrestling sites coming up.
Yep, we'll have them right here. It's going to be down below. I realize eventually, like, I can't, like, right here somewhere. I like to put it right here so it doesn't block the guest.
Block him. He's the guest today.
I know, right? Just put it right here over my face.
We've seen him enough, so we can block him out.
All right.
But thank you, and we shall see you next time.
Now you got to do the walk-off. You got to put the headphones off, and you got to walk off. I'm done. Cut the gate.
Cut to black. Laters.
We're done. Now you got to talk as you walk away. That's how I do it. There you go. There you go. There you go. Thank you. That's how I do it. And... Hehehehe